Turn with me to Exodus chapter 9. I'm sorry, that's Exodus 9, Exodus 29. Exodus chapter 29. Start in verse 1. I'm going to read verse 1 and then skip to verse 15 through 22. Exodus chapter 29. Let's look at verse 1. And this is the thing that thou shalt do unto them to hallow them, to minister unto me. This is in the priest's office. Take one young bullock and two rams without blemish. So this is basically consecrating, or this is what they're to do with the priest, Aaron and his sons. So they're to do this thing unto me in the priest's office, unto God in the priest's office. Now let's go to verse 15. We're going to look at these two rams. Thou shalt also take one ram, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands upon the head of the ram. And thou shalt slay the ram, and thou shalt take the ram's blood and sprinkle it round about upon the altar. And thou shalt cut the ram in pieces and wash the inwards of him and his legs and put them unto his pieces and unto his head. And thou shalt burn the whole ram upon the altar. It is a burnt offering unto the Lord. It is a sweet savor, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. That was the first ram. Now, and thou shalt take the second ram, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands upon the head of the ram, and thou shalt kill the ram, and take of his blood, and put it upon the tip of the right ear of Aaron, and upon the tip of the right ear of his sons, and upon the thumb of their right hand, and upon the great toe of their right foot, and sprinkle the blood upon the altar round about. And thou shalt take of the blood that is upon the altar, and of the anointing oil, and sprinkle it upon Aaron, and upon his garments, and upon his sons, and upon the garments of his sons with him, and he shall be hallowed, and his garments, and his sons' garments with him. Also thou shalt take of the ram the fat and the rump, and the fat that covereth the inwards, and the caul above, and the liver, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, and the right shoulder, for it is a ram of consecration. So we've got these two rams. One ram unto the Lord, one ram for consecration. This Old Testament story, lesson, pictures, or types were to be observed specifically unto Aaron and his sons, the priests of the Lord. And so this is a lovely picture of each believer's salvation and consecration in Christ our Lord. Remember, there is one ram that is for the Lord and another ram for consecration. So let's look at these two rams. Verse 1, take two rams without blemish. Without blemish. Why? Why did the priests need this lamb to be offered and sacrificed unto the Lord? Well, turn with me to Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59, starting in verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. Verse 7. Their feet run to evil. They make haste to shed innocent blood. Their tongues are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. And verse 8. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. This is why this ram is sacrificed unto the Lord. Because we, this ram is the picture of Christ, obviously, no blemish. We are born in sins. We inherited our father Adam's transgressions. When he fell, we fell. Our will, our purpose, our love, our thoughts, our actions, it fell. We could see the same thing in Romans 3. They have all gone astray. There's not one that seeks God. No, not one. That's everybody in this building. And anybody who's listening on the call-in, we cannot please God. We will not please God. We cannot. That is why the ram has to be sacrificed. And I like the order. The order of these two rams is set up by God. This book is inspired by the Holy Spirit, and it's in here exactly how it's supposed to be. God first has to be appeased. Okay? God has been and is the one offended. We, because of our foul transgressions, must be cleansed before God can commune with us. Before they could approach the altar. Thou take one of the rams, verse 15, Aaron and his sons to put their hands upon the head of the ram. And then you slay the ram and you sprinkle the blood around the altar. God is offended first. That's why this is the first ram. Before we can do any business with God, with a thrice holy God, he must be appeased, satisfied, and honored as well as his law. This was the law. This is how it's written. And it's not, you can't switch them around, the ram of consecration and then the ram to appease God. No, God has to be dealt with first. Thus, this ram is a type of our Lord Jesus Christ and his propitiatory death for us. Verse 15, and thou shalt take one ram, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands on the head of the ram. Verse 18, and thou shalt burn the whole ram unto the altar. It is a burnt offering unto the Lord. He's got to be dealt with first. He's got to be dealt with first. And look at what it says. Their hands were put on the head of the ram. This signifying that they were identifying with the innocent. The ram had no blemish, no spot. The ram was innocent. They are identifying with the innocent. Don't identify with this sinner. Identify with the innocent. And or also, it could show the transfer of sin. The innocent for the guilty, or as Peter states in 1 Peter 3:18, the just for the unjust. Thirdly, it could also, and or, could signify that when that ram died, we died. When Christ died, we died in him. In Christ Jesus, we died when he was slain upon the Calvary's tree. Either or, don't look to me. Put my hands on that ram, that innocent, pure, blemishless ram. Look at verse 18. And thou shalt burn the whole ram, the whole thing, the whole animal. Not a partial sacrifice, but this sacrifice was complete. Total, laying down of its life. And then our Lord Jesus Christ, an absolute fulfilling of everything that was written against us. A total, it is finished upon Calvary's tree. Death and acceptance. Death, his death, therefore our acceptance. And how do we know that the ram was accepted? Verse 18, and thou shalt burn the whole ram upon the altar. It is a burnt offering unto the Lord. It is a sweet savor of fire unto the Lord. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Now these very words were used by the Apostle Paul, so we know that this ram signifies the Lord Jesus Christ and his substitutionary death for sinners like you and myself. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2. Walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. That's how we know that this was accepted. That's how we know that we're accepted. As it says, Paul says in another place, we're accepted in the beloved. Sweet smelling savor. And turn to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7, starting in verse 22. Hebrews chapter 7. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, Christ, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, through this sacrifice, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifices, first for their own sins, that's what we're talking about, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when Christ offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmities, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. That's why we know that this sacrifice was accepted in type, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we are accepted in the beloved, and we know that this is the only way to glory, the only way to heaven's gate, the only way to Emmanuel's land, to Beulah land, the place where there's no sorrow, no more tears, and eternal bliss through Christ, the first lamb, the first ram. Now, what do we do after the Lord saves us? What do you do after you wake up the next day and you're married? I guess you stay with your husband, your wife. You cherish them. You honor them. You serve one another, or you act like you're married. Whether you have a ring or not, whether you can afford a ring or not, you're married. So with our salvation, which was full and free, then comes of necessity the ram of consecration. And that word consecration literally means dedication. Now, we heard this in half the Bible class. If you hear any message of anybody that has their worth and truth in preaching the gospel, they say that when God saves a sinner, he's different. He's different. Now, some fruit, the fruit varies, some 30, 60, 90, 100 fold. We know that out of Mark. Each and every child of the King Jesus is a follower, a soldier, an obedient servant to his sovereign. That is, we bear fruit. The seed, it says, in the Gospels fell on good ground. All the other ones didn't, they didn't produce. Maybe that one that came up for a little while, and then what happened, and it withered. Then the other one came up, and the cares of the world choked it. And then they walked no more. Lot lingered. Lot lingered. It is inconceivable not by my understanding, not by my interpretation, but in the Bible, and we'll get to the realm of consecration. It's impossible. It's inconceivable to imagine that those who are called, quickened, and reborn unto Christ can live without Him. You couldn't live without food, physically. You cannot live without Christ. He is in your mind. I have no numbers or percentages, because that would be legalistic. All I know is that when Christ calls and quickens and saves and redeems a sinner, it's like these, we've seen it in the New Testament, they wanted to go with Christ. They wanted to follow Christ. And Christ said, it'd be better if you stay here and witness for me. But that's what the believer wants to do. That's what the believer wants to do. They cannot live without Him. They cannot live for themselves. We do that, though. And we cannot live in constant disregard of our Master and Savior. Look with me at our text again, verse 19. And thou shalt take the other ram. This is in verse 22. It's called the ram of consecration. And they're both together. You can't separate them. They come together. And thou shalt take the other ram, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands on the head of the ram. Again, they freely identify with the sacrifice. Everyone who's called and quickened, they readily and freely, some more than others, but everybody who's called and quickened puts their hand on the head of the sacrifice. That means they're all in. That means they're thankful for what the Lord, what this ram is going to do. They identify with this ram. They're not ashamed of this ram. They own this ram. They don't hide away in their jobs or their homes or whatever. When they desire to be identified with this ram. In verse 20, they dip the blood. They didn't take this blood to the altar. That's already been taken care of. It's like the disciples, their feet being washed. We get in the world, and that we have to earn a living. We have to pay taxes, jobs, all these different things, go to school. That's not what we're saying here. We're saying when the Lord gets a hold of you, this happens as well. Now kill the ram and take the blood. Put it on his right ear, right thumb, and the big toe of the right foot. That's saying this. The ear, the thumb, the toe, the whole person, all of our persons are to be held up in simple purpose unto Christ. That means we're owned by Him. Everything about us, our ear, top of the head, middle of the body, the bottom of the foot, we're owned by the blood. And we identify with the blood. The ear, we listen. We hear, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. What we hear and listen to is to be honorable unto the blood, the sacrifice, Christ. What we hear. And I'm as guilty as anybody listening to stuff that's got nothing to do with anything. Whether it's on the television or the radio or the internet or whatever. He's got my ear. Why am I not listening? Why am I not gathering together when the saints gather together? Certain things happen. I understand that. I'm not going to put rules and regulations. It's again, are you consecrated? Do you want to be here? Do I want to be here? We all wrestle with discouragement. We all wrestle with frustrations. Do we want to be here? This is where we're hearing the gospel. Maybe I blow it. Maybe I don't. At least the scripture is read. And I've told this to Matt time and time again. The scriptures is the important thing. Because I may hit, I may miss. But we listen. The ear has got the blood. We're listening. We're listening for what's being said, the truth. And we're not being critical. We're listening. We're receiving it. Go home and think about it. The next thing is the thumb. The thumb is the hands. We're in service. We're to be in service to what we do. And he says, all that we do to the glory of God and promote his gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. You don't have to turn there, but everything we do to the glory of God. Do we? Do we? And the big toe, the blood on the big toe. We are to run. This is with our feet we run. We are to move towards the heavenly Jerusalem, not the things of this world. Not to see the newest thing that man has to come up with. Yes, man is bright. He's smart. He can go to the moon. He can do all these different things. That's not going to get you to glory. Our ear, our thumb, and our feet. We want to be where the gospel is. We want to be where God's people are. We want to help one another. We want to encourage one another. We are all, and he says we're all, this is about Aaron and his priests, but we're all kings and priests in the New Testament. He says we're all kings and priests. So this is every believer. We serve him daily. This is what the priest did. Look at verse 1 again. And this thing that thou shalt do unto them and hallow them to minister unto me. That's what we serve him, Christ. First, that's what they did. The first ram was sacrificed. We serve Christ. And then we serve his people. And then we serve all people. As much as lies within us, live peaceably with all men. Live peaceably with that. Doesn't mean get in there and mix it up with them. No, because we're bought. We're separate. We're separate. And again, you can take that and rest the scriptures and go to a monastery and don't deal with anybody. Don't go buy food. No, that's not what he's saying. That's not what he's saying. You have to live in this world. This world's fallen. We're citizens of this country. Secondly, but we're citizens of the heavenly Jerusalem first. So anytime there's a conflict, guess who? We should serve him. Ear, thumb, foot. Ram of consecration. We're bought with the precious blood of Christ. Now, our desires are different. Our desires are different. Our aims are heavenward. Our motives are not as they once were. We're like those Greeks in John chapter 12 when they came and the disciples, well, what do you want? So we would see Jesus. That's what we want to see. We could gather here together, find out how everybody's doing, anything we can do to help, etc., etc. But we want to hear, we want to see, we want to be like Christ. Be like Christ. And this poor, dull of hearing world is going to burn with fervent heat. But not that new heaven and that new earth, the one of Christ's making and his keeping. We are far too involved in this world. Me too. I mean, I'm speaking to everybody. We're far too involved. We're far too concerned. And we ought to walk by faith. And I thought that was interesting in the passage that Bruce read. His commandments are not grievous. That's another indicator. Is the gospel grievous? Would you rather be somewhere else? Or you're thinking about when I get home, got to do this, got to do that. Got to mow. You know, there's to the stuff to do, there's no end. When you get older, you begin to see, you should begin to see, I don't need this stuff. It's just, it's a burden. It's a burden. And the care of it is a burden. But we ought to be seeing this now. And we ought to be loving Christ and one another. And like I said, we're a family. Whether we, you know, like it or not, we do like it. We're a family. And families are dysfunctional. Families don't always get along. But we're a family. These are when a family doesn't get along, and when there's an aggravation between a mom and a daughter, a mom and a son, when there's aggravations and it's not, something's not right, you could say that's the flesh. That's the flesh. Put it aside, reconcile, and walk together. And I know personalities are different. Personalities are different in a family. But we have been bought with the blood. We've been paid that ram, that first ram, that picture of Christ, that he's a sweet Savior. It is sweet unto him, and it should be sweet unto us. I ask myself and I ask you, do we desire such things? To be different in Christ, to look at the heavens? Are we more concerned with ourselves? Making sure we get this and get that and do this and do that. If we're not content in him now, we're not going to be hereafter. If you're not content in Christ, if you need Christ plus something else, heaven is not going to be for you. Because he has been satisfied, and your ear and your thumb and your toe has been dipped in the blood of Christ. Let us heed the exhortation. We are Christ's, not ourselves. In closing, let's turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. We'll start reading in verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He doesn't ask anything of us that is unreasonable. The world does. The friendship with the world asks unreasonable things. Be not conformed. Why is he going right into this? Well, because it's a problem. We have issues. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What's God doing? Look in the scriptures. Read. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, every man, every boy, woman, girl, who is a believer, not to think of himself, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Look at verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business. We say if you're a believer, you're not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Do everything you have. Everything is like Henry said, the more you get, the more you give. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, because it's going to come. Continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. It sounds like family stuff. It is. It is. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. In verse 21, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, if he's got that ear, if he's got that thumb, if he's got that foot, that toe, it's all under the blood. May we honor and serve him. May we take this to heart. Because I don't know how many grace works there is in Missouri. The big state. I don't know how many grace works there is in this country. It's a big country. I don't know how many grace works there is in this world. But I know this. The way is narrow. And we have something here by God's grace. Let us honor it and cherish it, one another. The church is not the building. It's one another. We have to go back meeting at home again. What difference is that going to make? The Lord's given us this place. May we honor him by loving him and loving one another. Nathan, would you close us?